Hey, Olive, a good friend of mine, Cheryl Jekyll, back on the show with us today. Cheryl's been on three times before. She's a wealth of knowledge, particularly from the angle of HR and people and culture that plays such a part in achieving excellence. I know you're going to gain a lot from this episode. Cheryl's kindly given us some resources that are loaded up on the Enterprise Excellence Academy website under downloads. Go grab these. Let's get to the show.
Welcome to the Enterprise Excellence Podcast, where we aim to help create a better future. Learn from our world's experts how to improve and create enduring, high-performance, low-impact enterprises. Learn how to enhance morale, customer and purpose centricity, focus and calmness. Learn how to create and sustain a culture of excellence at all levels of your organisation.
And I'm your host, Brad Jevons, coming to you from Brisbane, Australia. We are proudly brought to you in association with SA Partners, a world-leading business transformation consultancy. SA Partners are a truly purposeful company focused on helping organisations achieve sustainable improvement for themselves, others, and the planet.
Welcome to episode 170 of the Enterprise Excellence Podcast.
It is such a pleasure to have Mrs. Cheryl Jekyll back on the show with us today. Cheryl has been on the show previously in episodes 103 and 5. Cheryl's the founder of Lean Leadership Center, working with visionary organizations to create strong people strategies and systems to achieve their business vision. Today, we're going to be discussing Cheryl's latest book, Let Go to Lead, 6 Habits for Happier, More Independent Teams with Less Stress and More Time for Yourself, the Leader. Let's get into the episode. Cheryl, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Brad. I'm looking forward to having our chat. Always spend time with you.
Always great. So Cheryl, why are leadership habits so important to, you know, an organization achieving excellence?
Boy, is that a loaded question. Where do I begin? The word I would start with is habits. This work represents actually what I've been witnessing in the field. This is not my opinion. I always say it's like what my work has been teaching me more than I knew the answer to it. I've been very focused the last several years on how people learn. Like, it's been pretty clear that leaders needed to be more of a coach and less directive. Very nice idea. Most companies who believe in continuous improvement, I'll say, yep, that sounds right, except doing it. The problem has been doing it. And everywhere I went, if I said, are you satisfied with what you're doing to develop leaders? It seemed everybody was like, well, it's not working. You know we need to turn that bend. Now, some leaders come out of the womb, apparently, like they coach, like they're just natural coaches. The problem is if you have, let's say, you know, a lot of supervisors and a lot of leaders, you know, when you're in the hundreds, you don't have most of them can do it. You're trying to get most people to do something they don't know how to do. And new skills take time. Most humans don't grow skills fast under any circumstance. So the learning can be like, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? And so when we talk about habits, a habit is meaning it's my go-to behavior. It's the way I would behave habitually. So the work has been turning into the habits were about, yes, we need this way of behaving, but we need to make it common. It's like the way we operate most days, all day. So a lot of the learning had been putting communities together that grew together, like it might have been they were working on skills, but what I found is what seemed to really make the difference is they're building those habits together. Like if you think people individually become better leaders, it's a much less likely, I think, much less likely to work. Whereas when I saw leaders band together and spend time sharing and their progress, their lack of progress, their failures, they grew. They literally, before my very eyes, they grow. Now, I'm not making them grow. What it tells me is we need to create more avenues for leaders to join together. I think of like, what I'm thinking is practice, repetition, over time. Like, no big mystery what creates a habit. But we need to find ways that we were giving them the support they need and the and then a long time practicing.
Yeah, so that's...
Hang in there,
to go through that habit loop to form that new habit. But you're saying that really, I guess that coaching bit you're mentioning is about how do we build that coaching habit? Some of us have it naturally, some of us don't. And then how do we actually form these forums and ways that leaders can constantly practice new habit and form it? Wow. So, Cheryl, on. Sorry, Cheryl.
I was just going to say, what I came to think of it as the more I watched it, in most sports, there's, I said one day, because by the way, I'm not actually a big sports fan. I said, what do baseball players do like for practice? And they said, what do they call that? And they said, drills. And I'm like, right. I think of leadership as we need, because I kept finding, by the way, none of the leaders, top to bottom, right to left, had the skills down called. And I'm like, that's because I don't think we think of leadership skills as we need drills, like practice the basics. No matter how far up you are or far along, we don't really, like athletes never stop having drills. Like even if you're a professional and you're amazing, you're one of the best ever, they practice, practice, practice. So I'm thinking of, we probably would not necessarily get it done to be like, now I know how to coach some good. I'm done thinking about it, I'm trying. I'm thinking, I think companies would do well to create a way that people are growing together and practicing over years. Not because it's like an initiative that doesn't end. It's like, no, we just practice or we practice.
Yeah,
We
wow.
practice.
That's cool. And Cheryl, you're mentioning that one approach to this, that habit formation, is bringing leaders together. What does that look like? What have you seen work there with bringing them together to be able to run drills together and practice together? And I heard show vulnerability also.
Yeah, so I mean, some of it is so the work that I did were like these, it's a program and it's got exercises. What I want to make clear is I mean, other companies could have exercises. What I mean by an exercise, some activity. For instance, we do a lot of pair shares. They might have a couple of questions and they get together in pairs and they share their answers, maybe challenges they're having, what are they trying, what's working or not working. The power of that isn't in just the exercise. It's the time of like two people connecting and sharing. That's the vulnerability and doing that often enough. So when we've done it in a community, we keep creating different like work in twos and threes and fours. And by the time they leave, they're like, I know everybody here well. See, I think there's this assumption they know each other and they don't know each other that well. They see each other at work. And they, transact things like, I need you to get me something. We need this taken care of. And what do you, it's just this business stuff that does not mean they've sat down and shared their leadership challenges. I don't think most adults share that readily with almost anybody.
Yeah.
They all, because when they are in the room, they keep saying, I didn't know you guys are having the same experience. Well, they apparently don't talk about it. But any company can do that. I don't think I've like you have to do my program to find ways for leaders to share, connect often over time. Now, coaching practice, one of the easiest we have to practice is if a leader shares with a peer any problem, any challenge they're facing in their work, and the partner, the coach, they start with my only way to help you is I can use questions and listening, but I'm not giving you any advice. I will not give you my suggestions. I will not tell you how I think you need to fix it. That simple exercise, and so then they do it in a circle. So each person maybe they practice for 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, sharing, coaching. They then realize how hard it is to not give advice, that a lot of conversations they just start advising before they let the person solve their own issue. That's what I mean by, but like I have that exercise. If anybody wants it, I'd hand it to them. You could do that
Yeah,
in
that's
any
awesome.
company, in any room, once a month or more, for an hour. And they come out with two things. I feel really connected. I've realized I'm not alone, and I've gotten a chance to think through this problem with some support. And they
Yeah.
are amazed. They think it's
Yeah.
the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, well, anybody could do this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's setting up the drill. Like you said, it's that repeat drill that allows us to practice the basics. Now, Cheryl, on the book you've written, the title is Let Go to Lead. And I'm sure that's important to these habits we're looking to form and the what we're doing in the drills and why we're coaching. Like to you, what does letting go to lead mean? What does that look like?
So over all my years of being in this terrain, I started to realize most time when people are successfully doing it, they'll start describing being uncomfortable. So I've let my team go work on this problem and it's uncomfortable. It's like they're going to do it some way I wouldn't have thought of or their own way. I have to release that control and they'll usually talk about it being a bit uncomfortable. And I got to realizing like it's uncomfortable. But yet, how can we have independent teams to solve problems and stop bottlenecking up everything at like which leader can make all the decisions or solve problems or approve anything, we're going to have to let go. And so I think getting clear that leading in a way that will allow your teams to fully develop and do all the amazing things they could do for your organization is going to take leaders who can let go.
Yeah.
One of the chapters is called Let Go Responsibly. That's not the same as, because a lot of times when people start to let go, they sometimes release too fast. Like, well, I left it in their hands and they didn't know what to do. So see, it doesn't work. I'm like, no, we just have to think through more. What do they need? Some clarity about what you're asking of them. But it should be hopefully over time, every so often, once or twice a year, you feel like people are doing things they didn't do before. If we don't have almost a constant influx of new skills, we're probably stagnating in, everything's sitting still. And if you're going to really grow your organization, people need to do new things.
Yeah.
You need to take something maybe your boss was doing and now I've learned to do it, and something you were doing, you've passed into your team. Just, that's what I'm saying, a little at a time, not dump it all.
Yeah. So, Cheryl, what you're saying is that as a leader, if you look at your world and every problem and every project and improvement, everything sits with you, and you feel overburdened, potentially you're a bottleneck. And then potentially the behavior you need is to let go and build the capability in others to be able to make improvements, run projects, learn new skills to take on different tasks that you've been doing yourself so that they can grow and develop.
That's exactly it. That's well said. And you just do a little at a time. And what I'm saying, if leaders join together in that process, you will see them get much farther.
Yeah.
Rather than like, I've asked it of my direct report and they're trying, but they're not really getting there. What I found is when they all work on that, the most amazing things happen. I said, the first time I saw it work, I was like, I was as surprised as anybody when it worked. I was so ready for it not to work. I'm like, oh, we put them through training. It never works. And I was like, they changed. And I realized they changed because they were encouraging each other. They started to witness that as they let go and they did just what you said, it felt good. It felt hard to let go. Oh, I see now they can do things that I used to do, or they're doing it better than I did it.
Yeah.
Or look what they do without any help from me. And they're so excited by that. And that's where it feeds from each other and they all start moving in one direction.
Yeah. And that part of the book that you've written in the title, which is More Independent Teams with Less Stress and More Time for Yourself, the leader, comes into play. You get more time as a leader and your world becomes so much better.
Yeah, most people say, well, now I can do more strategic things. I can look at things that aren't working, or I can attend meetings I wasn't going to, or I could maybe even attend a conference I wasn't going to go to, because they start realizing whenever I'm like way overburdened with work, I'm not releasing them, I'm not letting other people take some of it away from me.
Yeah.
And that's really common.
Yeah.
Leaders, I meet people all the time. It's like, I know I should do this differently. I struggle to do it.
Yeah. Hence the drills, the practice, the routines to be able to form those new habits, to be able to let go to lead. Now, Cheryl, the question I've got is, in the book, we've got the concept of six habits to be able to enable this. What are those six habits that you see are important to practice as drills to truly get good at letting go to lead more effectively?
Thinking I'm going to rattle them right off the top of my head. I'm like, let me make sure I can remember really quick. So first one's be clear. So that's going to be all about some surprising lessons. Again, this is what it taught me. It's been shocking to me how much leaders realize, like it's unconscious. They think they're communicating clearly and they're not. They're saying things like take ownership or hold people accountable. And then they realize nobody has the same understanding of what that actually means to carry it out. And yet there's agreement. Most of our teams want to do what we want them to do, but if we haven't been clear, then they can't do it. So if we say, I'd like to see my team be more proactive, but I don't know what that means, and I'm the leader, then it's no wonder they don't know what it means either, because I haven't said, oh, I want you to be proactive, and this is what I mean. It means like, I want you to, pay attention to last week's mistake and really sit. I want you to meet and discuss how you might prevent that from happening again, and then come back with some ideas. That's what they mean, but they don't, they need to think that through. So a lot of the growth was in just being more clear.
And I love that, Cheryl, because what I'm hearing there is that it's be clear, describe the behavior you're seeing if what's happening is happening that you want to see happen. Describe the behaviors, which is what I heard in your sentences there. That is really cool. Be clear, describe the behavioral outcomes that you want.
Yeah, and so by the way, the reason why I just want, one of the things we've done is we've said, name whatever it is you wish were happening that isn't happening for all the leaders. And so they'll take this. And then they're like, what, as they've learned all the things that need to be in place, where is it stuck at? 9 out of 10 times, my expectations are not clear. I'm not clear what I mean. They're not clear what I mean. I don't get what I want because I haven't slowed down long enough to get clear. That means that is 9 out of 10 times the problem. That is so fixable. That is something so much if leaders could just, by the way, you know, I think it feeds into another concept I found is most leaders have a propensity to act. They're very busy. They're very physically active all day, or they're in meetings or in their calls. They work really hard. We need more time to like pause and think and plan and reflect. So there's a study I came across that's in the book about if you took a half an hour a day to reflect and plan, you'd be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm like, so it sounds like, well, why aren't they clear? Well, part of it is we're not slowing down long enough to get clear mentally and then direct more carefully because we're mostly just busy working hard. We're working. We're definitely working. Great. The next one is teach them to fish for their own solutions. So that one's almost kind of obvious. It's really paying attention to how much of a problem solver you are rather than do you keep giving your people solutions or do you let them solve their own problems? Again, nice. Easier said than done. A lot of it is people getting clear. What would that feel like and look like to do that? And then how do I build that as a habit? Next one is taking responsibility. This is the good news, actually. I think when leaders figure out that they're not getting what they want and it's within their own control, that's the good news. Mm. So it means the first thing I need to do is make sure I've done everything as a leader I need to do to set my team up for success. It means a lot of the times that we think our teams are like not engaged or, you know, either whatever enough to get the job done. When we realize we haven't done our part, that's when that means I can make the change.
Yeah, nice.
I can do it.
So it's within our power.
We've already talked about let go. So getting that let go of the control. And then this last part we talk about is motivate more and help less.
Yeah,
also nice. Realizing if we have independent teams, it's going to look like what do I need to do to motivate or inspire them? What kind of support do they really need? And whatever times we think they need our help, help a lot of times is, getting in the middle of things. You know, do they need all that help designing processes or do they just need us to give them the time and encouragement?
Yeah, so that is cool. I love it. So be clear, slow down and reflect, which is that take time every day to actually think, reflect, learn, and then go forward. Teach to fish for their own solutions and their own outcomes. So teach people how to improve, how to run projects, how to run improvement, how to do tasks and different skills and capability to be able to build their skills and grow. Take responsibility because it's like, right, this is within my power, my leadership shadow. I can alter this and get better outcomes. Let go, which Cheryl, I'm guessing let go to a lot of that is, well, all of this is where that coaching language hangs and that ability to coach more effectively to let go and to do these things and then motivate more and help less. So focus more on motivation.
Yeah. And there's one last habit that we didn't mention is called level your team.
Okay.
So what that means is over time, if you think about creating an independent team, we basically train people to look up or we can train them to look to each other. And I think independent teams tend to always speak more like, what do we think? What are we doing? And they don't talk about what does my boss say? What does my boss think? Are we doing what they want? So I think part of essentially you're looking for a habit is realizing how do we train people to look up and how versus train them to look to each other. And what I've seen when in an environment of generally really healthy teams that have taken a lot of the work into the teams and are not bottlenecked, they'll very rarely speak about management.
Mm.
They'll be like, our team was asked to do this, so we did this and look what we got done. They won't talk about their bosses at all because it's really not, it's not because they focus on the customer. The work they do is for the, I don't do what my boss wants. I do what the customers want, and we do it as a team.
Yeah, that's neat. Cheryl, I did a voice of employee event yesterday, and you know, within the one organization, I spoke to teams where it was like they didn't mention leadership at all. And when I asked them, what happens if you have to send a problem up or an idea up? And they said, why would we need to do that? Like, we just don't have to do that. We've got it. And you can hear them talking about, we've got this. We're focused on the customer. We're overcoming the challenges. We're running the projects. We're making the improvements happen for customers in a strategically aligned way. But then there was other teams I'd talk to, and you would hear a lot where it's all about, it's all going to the boss, and nothing ever gets done, and the boss is a bottleneck. And, you know, that one slight difference of, have we let go? Are we empowering and building capability in all these habits you mentioned? You know, are we clear? Are we slowing down and reflecting? Are we teaching people to fish and building their capability? Are we taking responsibility and doing the part we can play for it? You know, are we actually letting go? And this team certainly was, because, you know, each team member had a project they were executing. It was prioritized by the team. They were helping each other with it and motivate more. It's funny, the motivation often comes from those previous parts being in play too. But certainly you had the team leveled, these good teams, they were leveled. They're looking to each other for help and their direct leader at times, but there certainly was very little constant focusing up. But it's an amazing concept.
So those that are the habits. Team. Yep, those are the habits. And the rest of the book really just talks about a lot of things we've talked about what I saw that it's taken to make them habits. That's really what's worked so exciting to me, is when it finally started, like, I saw it actually work. And so then I started to say, so what's all required for it to work? And I'm like, well, they got to go together. They need to do it in community. They need to practice and practice. Another thing we look at, by the way, I often have to be very gentle with them. They're like, you're so gentle with us. I'm like, well, because you're learning. If you're not encouraging of yourself, like if you say, oh, I screwed, you know, I'm not a good coach, I can't do this, or I took control this morning, don't focus on the little learning paths. Be on your own side.
Yeah.
We really need to create environments to, we will not take on this many new habits without encouragement. And that partly starts with us. One of the things we do with leaders, we'll say, write down 10 things that you like about your leadership. And they will look at me like, that's the last thing they want to do. Write 10 things I'm not good at in a second. But they don't like that feeling. I'm like, you're going to have to be able to reinforce your abilities to get to do this.
Yeah.
Takes human, you know, if you're going to believe in your team, you have to believe in yourself.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love it. And Cheryl, in this area, like, I really love the book and where you focus, because I see it so much, that leadership shadow is everything, you know, pretty well most of the gig. For a listener, what would be your 2-minute tip in this area of letting go to lead and really looking to build what we've discussed in this episode?
Two things is, one, by the way, the books, The Coaching Habit, by Michael Stanger,
Bungay Stanger.
I give to everybody. We teach it. We hand it out in the class. I love the way that book breaks this down. And it's, by the way we teach coaching is like asking open-ended questions. That book makes asking questions very, like, start simple. Don't go complex. And so a lot of it is just start. So you can buy a book like that and just start building that habit. Get support from others. And if you can find, start being aware, if you're in a conversation with somebody who's expressing a problem at any time, it could be your spouse, your kids, a neighbor, anywhere at work, start looking for opportunities. Could I start to use questions? Give a chance a person to think it through, then give them advice. Michael also wrote the second book called The Advice Monster, which is my second favorite one of these, which talks about that need to advise. That takes some getting used to, getting over that. So that's the human condition. Nothing wrong with you if you're strong.
Yeah, that's neat. That's neat. I think Michael's a fellow Australian too, so I think he's doing well in what he does. And that's a full credit to him. That's great.
I really like the simplicity. Actually, even when I wrote my book, I kept thinking, I want mine to be simple like his. I don't want to make it like hard. It's got to be easy.
Easy, good read. I love it. Well, Cheryl, I really appreciate the time, the knowledge, the insights, everything you have done and you continue to do with this new book, Letting Go to Lead. And how can people reach out, get hold of the book and learn more?
So it's on Amazon.com. At the back of it, there's also a website, LeanLeadershipCenter/corebook. And there's resources on it. It tells you more about things you can do. There's an assessment that you can get. And so you can order it on Amazon. And then if you go to that website, which is in the book, you can get more stuff to get started. My hope is these ideas go forth to as many people as possible and find ways for people to do it on their own.
Wow. So that's it truly sounds like an amazing book. And thank you for recording an amazing podcast with us, Cheryl. And Merry Christmas. And I hope you have a great new year. And I'm sure we'll be in touch too. Thanks again, Cheryl. Bye for now.
What a great episode. Remember, you can go to our website, enterpriseexcellencepodcast.com/downloads, to get hold of resources Cheryl has kindly provided. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast to help others gain insights and create a better future. There were two key takeaways for me from this episode. Firstly, let go to lead. Leaders becoming uncomfortable and being happy with that when they do let go, release control, lean into that uncomfortableness that can initially come about to enable autonomy within their team. Cheryl mentioned that this needs to be done responsibly, in the right pace, with the right support to truly help teams succeed and grow. It's about us leading in a way that allows our teams to become autonomous, grow, and develop towards their potential. The second key takeaway for me was group coaching and habit formation within leadership. Cheryl's description of this approach was amazing. You know, bringing leaders together to explore habits, support each other, share and learn, much like in baseball or any sport. Cheryl, thanks again for your knowledge and time. Thanks for the book you've written again, such a great one. And thanks most of all for helping us create a better future. Bye for now.